mind and every heart. Thank you for an atmosphere of faith and power. Thank you for togetherness and comprehension and participation. Thank you because your power is present here to heal every sickness, disease, and infirmity. Give you praise and glory. Thank you because we have gathered and will live better than we came. Thank you. Thank you, O God. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Hallelujah. Slap two people. No, wait. Let me finish. Thank you, Pastor. Slap two people a high five before you take your seat. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God. Amen, amen. Amen. Okay, so we have an ongoing subject, and it's handling the scriptures rightly. Handling the scriptures rightly. We'll just take it up very quickly. I hope to take two sessions today. There's something else that I want to share with you. Laid upon my heart the Friday night stroke Saturday morning. That's during the video, but it's okay. So I hope to move as fast as I can with this subject so that we can have at least good enough time to also look upon that. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Say the Bible. Is open to me. Say the Bible to me is not a closed book. It is open to me. I can see clearly, clearly, clearly. The Bible is open to me. This morning, as always, I welcome revelation, knowledge. I welcome wisdom. This morning, I am better than I came. Hallelujah. Okay, handling the scriptures rightly. 2 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 14 down to 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Figo num buku chuchupa vle dodo bro sista teketum bro fishishish agleopa bolo nununun susto prage progo. Progomamba, I said this to remind you again, says the Spirit of God, that the power of God is for you. The power of God is for you to deploy. The power of God is for you to use. That power that God has given his church, whatever it cannot do, God cannot do. Whatever it cannot do, God cannot do. Therefore, with more boldness and with a large heart, with huge desires and expectations, lay hold on the power of God. I say to you again, lay hold on the power of God. Lay hold all the time. As you go, lay hold. In your life's challenges and situations and conditions, lay hold. In ministry, lay hold. For the power of God is for you to use. The power of God is for you to put to work. Therefore, put it to work. Put it to work. Put it to work. Use it because it always works. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, let's move on. So, verse 14. Continue thou in the things which thou hast. Of course, Paul wrote to Timothy, exhorting him with these words. And don't forget, He not only wrote to a believer in Jesus, he wrote to a pastor. Pastor over saints. Okay? He occupied the pastoral office of course, help the saints of God to grow spiritually and to be trained for ministry. And Timothy is Paul's son in the faith. Okay? And I'm sure you understand sonship. I tell you again and again in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul admonishes or encourages the saints at Corinth to follow him as he follows Christ. If you read from verse 15. And let me just be sure about that so that there's no mix-up in reference. 16 and 17. Yeah, I knew something was off there. 16 and 1 Corinthians 4. So when I said 16 before, that's 17. When I said 15, that's 16. Okay? So Paul encourages the church at Corinth in verse 16 to follow him as he follows Christ, that they be followers of him. Okay, in 17 he now says, this is the reason I sent Timotheus to you. Okay, I sent Timotheus to you so that it will bring to your remembrance my ways which be in Christ. Okay, that is what sonship is for. If I say, follow me, and then I say, this is the reason I sent her to you. Whatever she says to you, if you follow, you are following me. Amen? So sons, the sons that can do that. It's like saying, look at me, and at the same time I'm saying, look at her. Okay, when you look at her, you're looking at me. In John chapter 14 and verse 1, Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. It's the same concept. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. So it's not to say, put God aside and believe in me. No. Believe in me because I am the Son of God. When you believe in the Son of God, you believe in God. Does that make sense? Hey, are you there? When you believe in the Son of God, you believe in God. That's sonship. So that's the concept of spiritual fatherhood and sonship. Sons are able to do what their fathers can. Sons are able to represent their fathers. So here is Paul's son in the faith, and he writes to him, of course, to encourage him in the first book, in 1 Timothy, encouraged him. Timothy was a young man at that time. Okay, and he says to him in chapter 4, he says, let no man despise thy youth. Be an example of the believer. Let no one. Amen? So he encouraged him. In verse 14, he says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, given by prophecy, the laying on the hands of a presbytery. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, stir up the gift of God which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us, verse 7, the spirit of fear or timidity. Okay? Amen, amen? So that's why we always explain every time. And it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. The point there is timidity as touching the work of God. It's not saying, I'm not afraid of anything. And then you're going somewhere, people come out with guns, you bring out your chest. If they meet you like that, yes, God can deliver you, but that's not what that verse is for. Amen? I'm not afraid of anything. And then you're just walking past someone's compound, and you hear a dog bark, and the gate vibrates, and you run. Yeah. Are you there? Or let's even leave that. Maybe your heart is tough. You just wake up and then you see a debit alert that you did not authorize. Say, I'm not afraid of you. Yeah, what's it? Has it happened to you before? You spent money 2 days ago. 2 days ago. Then you wake up on the third day and you wake up to the alert. Ah, what is this? I say, oh. Amen? Okay. So what is it? For God also give you the spirit of fear, the spirit of timidity. He occupied the pastoral office. It was to lead the charge in the gathering of the saints. God has not given you the spirit of timidity. No, don't be timid. But of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Okay, so he encourages him in these epistles. Remember, they are called pastoral epistles. And you find some personal things written to Timothy from Paul. I will go into that. Of course, it's there. I'm not saying I'm hoarding the knowledge or information, no, so that we can move on. So, verse 14, as always, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. So, number one, you must learn. Number two, you must be assured of what you're learning. So don't just learn. Learn to assurance. There may be a stage where you say, ah, they said in that church that God's power is always working. So let me just, so that means it's working now. So let me just pray or put it to use. Let me just minister healing to my body or to that person's body. That's great, they said. You must get out of there in your Christian journey to the point of, I know God's power is always working. That's assurance. Amen? That's assurance. And sadly so, a lot of Christians don't learn to assurance. They said, does it work? Yes. God is faithful. God is seeking every avenue to be a blessing to his children, to show up for his children. Amen? But you must move from I learned to I am assured of what I learned. I mean, let me say it like this. When your teacher teaches you, learn. I'm talking spiritually now. Learn, okay? That is, receive the knowledge. When you learn, ensure you are assured of what you have learned, such that even if your teacher turns his back on what he taught you, you will continue in assurance. Again, when your teacher teaches you, learn. When you learn, ensure that you move on to assurance. So much that even if your teacher turns back or turns his back on what he has taught you, you will move on in assurance or because of assurance. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Aha. That is why in Christian meetings, believers must be trained to learn. Church is not where you show up without the Bible. I'm sure you've had that severally, without a note, without the writing material. It's like a farmer going to the farm without his hoe and cutlass. Maybe today you're talking about machines. Okay? The plowing machines and the harvesters and, no, well, maybe not harvesters yet, and all manner of machines to farm. But if we leave it with, the small garden, yes, you need the hoe, you need the cutlass. It's like going to the farm, so when you now get there, you say, ah, what did I come to do in the farm? No hoe, no cutlass. That's how it is when believers show up in church or Christian gatherings without their Bibles, and so on and so forth. Amen? So, it's a training ground, a place where believers are taught to learn to assurance. Amen? So as always, I charge you again. Be assured of what you're learning. It's great when you come in the company of saints and your heart is full of joy that God's power is working. But come to assurance of that fact and truth that God's power is working. Amen? 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 Come to assurance. And the way assurance happens is when you properly learn and you put your heart to what you're learning or you've learned. Okay? So I said number one, learn, right? Number two, assurance. Number three is to continue. Number three is continue. Continue. There are those who read their Bibles, prayed, served the Lord, because at the time, they were, let me say, they didn't have too much to do. In other words, you can say jobless. Or had, well, let's just say they didn't have much to do. But when they got busy with life, family, work, and all of that, then they didn't continue in those things. No. The believer is always encouraged to continue. Romans 12:12, continuing instant in prayer. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. The believer is constantly exhorted to continue to do spiritual things. Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord your God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Service forever. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Okay? So, always remember that. Amen? Always remember that. Okay? And of course, it concludes by saying, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I mean, it's important to say this from time to time. Know who has taught you. And always be grateful. That's one. Also, it will help you to continue as you remember them. As you remember their sacrifices, as you remember how they lived their lives. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, Hebrews 13, almost there. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. See what the writer says. Remember them which have the rule over you and have spoken unto you the word of God. Okay? That is, they taught you. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Conversation there is not necessarily, a conversation, their words, like I said. This is holistic in nature. As a matter of fact, you can replace conversation with conduct or lifestyle. Their Christian walk. Considering the end of their conversation. So the end of their conversation will have to do with their manner of living. And then verse 8 lets you in. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. They say what they do. They do what they say. Or they say what they practice. They practice what they say. So whose faith follow? Amen, amen. It helps you. Of course, verse 15, let's quickly move on from the recaps and head on to what we have to do today. Verse 15, salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The scriptures are able to teach you that. Okay? They are able to teach you that, which are able to make wise, or to make thee wise unto salvation through faith. The scriptures are able to teach you salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, of course, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. God inspired the writings, the scriptures. And it is profitable for teaching, that's doctrine, for reproof, that's conviction or persuasion, for correction, that's improvement of life and character, for instruction in righteousness, that's training or education. Education in righteousness. Okay? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Amen? Like I tell you every time in verse 17, what you must see is that the man that God has sent has the Bible or the scriptures sufficient for his work. The man that God has sent has the Bible or the scriptures sufficient for his work. Amen? Amen, amen? In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? And you remember the word rightly dividing. Right? Thotomeo. O-R-T-H-O-T-O-M-E-O. And that's where we, in some sort, have our subject or title from, okay? The resemblance of that. Okay, you say, to handle aright. Okay? So there's need for diligence so that you can be acceptable before God, handling aright the word of truth. Handling rightly the scriptures, if I would put it, handling aright the scriptures to present the word of truth. Handling aright the scriptures to present the word of truth. Amen, amen. Okay, let's move from there, Luke 24, 44 to 46. These are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things was fulfilled with the written law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me, right? Then 45, then open thee the understanding that I may understand the scriptures. 46, then it says, he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus be O Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Okay? So in 44, he says that he spoke to them, or let's just say it as it is. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. Okay? Note that. I believe you understand that. This is post-resurrection. While I was with you, these are the words that I spake unto you. We can say from the point he chose them as disciples and began to school them and take them around for ministry and all of that. So these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Of course, if you go back and check the accounts, you will notice that he spoke about what shall be. Matthew 16 is an example. From verse 13 to 21, after Peter had said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus, our flesh and blood, I will reveal this unto you, he said to them that he will be killed shortly, and after 3 days he will rise again. And Peter said, and Peter rebuked him that no, that won't happen. Of course, because he didn't understand. So these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So from there, what do you see? All things were written concerning him. Or all things written were concerning him. I think I prefer the second one. All things written were concerning him. Again, All things written were concerning him. So he opened their understanding so that they will then comprehend that all things written were concerning him. Does that make sense? So the understanding of the scriptures is to see that all the writings or the utterances of the prophets were concerning Jesus. In John chapter 1 verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael, and he said unto him, we have found whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. I mean, if you were not so much schooled in the scriptures, you will notice something. If you read through the scriptures, that there seems to be somebody. There seems to be a he. There seems to be a him. There seems to be someone that God is promising mankind, or that should come. You can't miss it. When the Enoch in Acts 8, when he was reading Isaiah 53, and Philip met him, or he met Philip, okay? He asked him, of whom does he write? Of himself, or of some other man? Of course, Philip replied, of some other man. And then from there, he taught Jesus. Okay? So, again, the understanding of scripture is to see that the writings were concerning Jesus. Amen, amen. And of course, verse 46 will now be that understanding, or will be the all things written concerning me, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead. Study. Of course, in 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 10 to 11, Peter speaks as a student of Jesus, amen, of which salvation the prophets have inquired, who said diligently of the grace that should come unto you, searching what a woman of time the Spirit of Christ was in them to signify, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Amen. So scriptures are concerning Jesus, right? Okay, quickly, Acts 3. A number of these things we have said in this teaching. It's always good to refresh your memory. Amen. That's how you get to remember. Acts chapter 3 and verse 18. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Is that clear enough? Is that clear enough? Okay. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5 from verse 9. 1 John chapter 5 from verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Verse 11, and this is the record, that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. In John chapter 5, verse 40, Jesus says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Are you there? So when you search the scriptures, who you will find is Jesus. In finding Jesus, you will find eternal life in him. Does that make sense? And that's what John was saying as well in 1 John 5, 9 to 11. That's the witness of God. Okay? So salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, is the lens through which, lens through which scriptures are read or viewed. Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, is the lens through which scriptures or the scriptures are read or viewed. learned and taught. Amen. Read or viewed, learned and taught. Don't forget 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. The scriptures are able to make thee wise. They have the capacity to, because that's how they were crafted or designed. So when we read or study the scriptures, it must be through the lens of salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. When we learn, it must be through that lens. When we teach, it must be through the lens of salvation through faith, which is Christ Jesus. Quickly, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Praise God. Genesis chapter 1. And of course, let me remind you, remember in our study on the book of Genesis, okay, that we were able to see something very important in understanding the book of Genesis. Firstly, you must not see the book as, yes, it's historical, okay, in terms of documentation, in terms of content, but you must not see it as the reason for documentation. So it's not that Moses wanted to let us know how the world began, per se. Okay? The point was not quite that. You can learn that from Genesis 1, amen. But there's a reason. And in simple terms, this is it. God had raised a people for himself in Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Then you have Israel. And then he had promised them a land. Promised Abraham a nation to make a great nation out of him. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. He had said to him, through you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So he wanted to reap the whole earth from Abraham, a nation, a family. So he made promises to them. Now, by the time Joseph was in Egypt and became prime minister, remember there was famine in Jerusalem, and those things are figurative as well. And then Jacob and his sons had to move to Egypt, and Joseph preserved them. And it got to a time that the king that favored Joseph died, and eventually the king that did not know Joseph arose and then began to oppress the children of Israel. They were increasing, they were growing, and then there was envy, began to oppress and oppress. Then God raises Moses to the children of Israel to deliver them. Now, the proper view is that God raised Moses to remind them of his promises to Abraham. Are you there? God raised Moses to remind the children of Israel of his promises to Abraham. It's a great nation that I promised your father Abraham, not to be oppressed here. Hence, deliverance is necessary. Did you get that? So God raised Moses, right, a prophet to the children of Israel. Right? Hey, are you there? In Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15, Moses himself said that God will raise a prophet like unto him. Moses speaking. God has raised me a prophet. God will raise another prophet like unto Moses. And Moses said, him shall you hear in all things. So God raised Moses a prophet, and what do prophets do? They speak, right? They get inspired by God and speak. So what did God send Moses to do to the children of Israel? To speak to them. Does that make sense? To speak to them. Now, the utterances of Moses to the children of Israel, you will find in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Does that make sense? Aha. Utterances. Now, don't forget, they were in oppression, and God raised Moses to remind them of the promises. What are you to do to God's promise? Faith. Exercise faith, right? Hey, are you there? To exercise faith. Hebrews chapter 4. See that quickly. I mean, you could read from Hebrews chapter 3. That's some long read. Okay? Now, in your notes, you could say Hebrews 3 from verse 7 to 11. Sorry, 7 to 19. In your note, 7 to 19. But let's just read Hebrews 4. Then you now say Hebrews 4 and verse 1 to 2. So in our exodus, it says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel as well as unto them. But the word preached did not what? Profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard. So when you hear what God has promised or promises, faith is expected from you. Faith is expected in your heart. Okay? Are you there? So, I believe it makes sense now. Moses was sent to Israel to remind them of God's promises to Abraham, God building a nation or a family for himself, but at that time, they were in oppression. In oppression. There was also another factor as to their negligence to God's promises. You can call that lack of faith. Okay? So, Moses then comes and speaks to them God's promise or God's mind or God's will or God's intent. Are you there? And what is expected in their hearts? Faith. So when Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Okay? Is it 16 now? 15, sorry. Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So Moses brings the message of salvation to the children of Israel. And what is the expected response in their hearts? Faith. And who is the Savior? Jesus Christ. Amen? Are you there? Praise God. So in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This is a message, not story. Okay? Not history. A message. Moses is teaching. The prophet is exhorting, preaching to Israel. Exhorting them on God's plan and purpose in the earth so that faith can be inspired in their hearts. Of course, to receive what God has for them. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, we're on to John chapter 1. John read Moses in Genesis 1, and this is what he wrote. Don't forget, what's the subject? Handling the scriptures rightly. That means there's a right way to handle the scriptures, and therefore, there's a wrong way to handle the scriptures. Does that make sense? Okay, look at John chapter 1. John, he read Moses, and he is writing. In the beginning, okay, in the beginning, the same words that began Genesis. And that's where Genesis is coined from. Genesis has to do with beginning. That's the meaning. The book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. Okay, so in simple terms, this is, by the way, still part of what we're learning. Moses took them beyond Abraham to the beginning to show them that what God said to Abraham has been God's plan since the beginning. Since the beginning. So John, in writing the gospel of Jesus Christ, according to John, right, takes his audience as well to the beginning. Don't forget, the subject is clearly Jesus now. Okay? So he takes them as well to the beginning to show them that that Jesus of Nazareth, that some of you know when he was born, has been since the beginning. Okay? So in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Amen, amen. So, John, in John's writing, we are seeing a him. In him was light. It was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So in him was life, and the life was light. And the light shined in darkness, and darkness didn't comprehend it. Genesis 1, 1 to 5. Amen. In verse 7, John 1, it says, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Who is the same? Verse 6, John the Baptist. So he came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighted every man that came into the world. Hey! So in Genesis 1, the light was a person. Amen? And the purpose of the light was to light men. That was not the sun. That was not to light up the atmosphere. No, it was to light men. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So you see John's, what word should I use now? Is it craft now or artistry? Or how do I say now? Carefully put out thoughts. So he's writing, let's use an example. He's writing today about a Jesus of today that has been since the foundation of the world. You get that? So he lets them know that this Jesus of Nazareth, this is him from Genesis. From Genesis. He was the one that made all things since the beginning. He now came into the world that he made. They did not know him. He came to his own. His own did not receive him. That's Israel. Okay? But as many as received, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believed on his name. Now, in verse, that's up to verse 12, right? In verse 14, he now said, and the word was made flesh. Don't forget verse 1. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. So in verse 14, that word, since the beginning, was made flesh. Hallelujah. That word that was with God, that word that was God, now became flesh, dwelt amongst us, and beheld his glory, the glory as of the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen? 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 So you see how he carefully handled Genesis, and who did he preach? Jesus. So when you get to Genesis 1, and you are overwhelmed or beclouded by the things that you see there, and you are not able to preach Jesus from it, you miss the point. Does that make sense? You know the facts are many. You can begin to think about heaven, earth. You can begin to think about light, darkness, water. You can begin to think about plants. Amen? You can begin to think about these living creatures, all of that. But see how an apostle of Jesus Christ taught from Genesis 1. He taught Jesus. That's how to handle it. So it will be mishandling to lose the focus. The focus is Jesus Christ. It will be mishandling to lose the focus. To not preach Jesus. Amen, amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, my God, well, he has not forsaken me because of Jesus. Every time you hear that, you know that time has forsaken me. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4. Okay. From verse 3, 2 Corinthians 4, from verse 3, we're reading to 6. But if our gospel be he, it is he to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of Christ, should shine unto them. Should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Genesis 1, right? Verse 3. Right? Or we can say 2 to 3. To shine out of darkness, hath shined where? In our hearts. Whoa! To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Oh! So when God said, let there be light, it wasn't just a commandment. That was not what he was trying to portray. Now God just, let there be light, and there was light. No. That is to portray preaching the knowledge of God's glory. That's how light comes into a man's heart. Amen? That's how light comes. Paul even helped us to understand the narrative in Genesis 1. Don't forget, in Exodus 37 and verse 4, Moses called the children of Israel a stiff-necked people. So he says, if our gospel is he to them that are lost. In verse 4, it says, in whom the God of Israel hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine. Which is the image of God should shine unto them. Amen. So the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness in Genesis 1, do you get that? Had now shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So that means God was teaching the people through Moses that he will become a man to light up their hearts that was filled with darkness. Amen? And don't forget, when the word of God is preached, the response that God expects is faith. That is, you agree with it. You rely upon it. So again, 2 Timothy 3:15, salvation through faith which is in Christ. Salvation, God's plan. Jesus Christ, the man to accomplish or fulfill God's plan, the Savior. Faith, what is expected from a man that hears about God's plan? Is that simple? So that means that's what you'll be seeing in the scriptures. What God wants to do, what God is saying to men, okay, who will accomplish it, and the exhortation to trust, to believe, to put faith in God's plan and walk in it. Amen? The writings of the prophets. So that's what I meant by the lens through which the scriptures are read or viewed. That's how you see it. Remember we read Psalms chapter 1 to chapter 3. And we saw the exhortation of putting faith or trust in God. Trust. He calls the man blessed. Blessed. I mean, that the prophet just comes and speaks to you and says, this is what God said. It is blessedness when you settle down, you listen, and you agree with the prophet. That's what he's saying. You agree. You put faith in it. He says you are blessed. Hallelujah. In Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 15. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom. And hath stretched out the heaven by his understanding. When he uttered his voice. Verse 16. There is a multitude of waters in the heavens. He caused the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain. And bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. In that same light. Ephesians 3 and verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He created all things by Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 and verse 16. Colossians 1, 16. It says, by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Verse 17. And he's before all things. Amen. Is before all things, and by him all things consist. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1. The writer of Hebrews says it, says the same thing with perhaps different words. Hebrews 1 from verse 1 to 3. God who has sundry times and diverse manners speaking time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Can you see that? Amen, amen. In verse 3, the writer of Hebrews calls Jesus the image of God. So in Genesis chapter 1 and 26, he says, God said, let us make man in our image. That's a Christ message there, a Christ revelation. Let us fashion man after Christ. Christ is that image of God. Amen. In verse 27, God created man in his own image. Male and female created he them. In Christ, male and female. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, I mean, that argument that it is only men, women should not speak in church, should not preach, is dead on arrival since the beginning. Male, female, in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Hey, glory to God. Dead on arrival. Praise God. Okay, let's move on. 2 Peter 1. Second Peter 1, verse 19 to 21. We also have a much sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your heart. The day star, or the morning star, or the light giver or bringer. Arise in your heart. It is knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private. Private. That word private, that should be the word idios. Separate. Okay? Pertaining to oneself. That is, no prophecy of scripture came of any private interpretation. It wasn't based on self. This person said his own. That person said his. No. God was walking through all. That's what he says in 21. For the prophecy came in no time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. As they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The word moved is the word phero, P-H-E-R-O, a word that simply means to carry or to move by bearing. It's a word that means to be conveyed or borne. That's B-O-R-N-E. Now, as pertaining to the mind, or as pertaining to speaking, it's a word that means to be moved inwardly or to be prompted. To be moved inwardly or to be prompted. Okay? So God moved them inwardly. God prompted them to say the things they said. Now, it would be funny to assume that the prophets that we have their utterances in the scriptures, that's all they said in life. Is that possible? I mean, it would even be funny to assume that that's all our messages here. That's all my utterances. When I leave church, I'm on mute. I'm on mute. So when I say, I want to eat something, say, you eat, I don't eat. Whatever that is. Are you there? So it will mean that the things that we find the prophet saying here documented were the things that God prompted them. God moved them inwardly. Praise God. There was a working behind the scene. God was working through them, inspired them to say certain words to communicate his plan in the earth. So, let's begin to close this session. Number one, never assume you are the writer. That's funny, right? But it's important. Never assume. So if you're not the writer, you will not go somewhere and just say, this is what it means. Now you write them. You won't just say, this is what it is. No. So from what we have seen so far, like I told you, I think some, was it the first session? Yes, first and second, right? I say you must arrive at the writer's intent, right? Remember that? And number two, that there's a message. God has a message for man. He inspired men to speak about it. Never forget that. So you must always see yourself as one whom a message was sent to in the utterances. So never assume you are the writer. Amen. Okay, I wrote my note funny but key in bracket. You are the recipient. You are a recipient. Okay? Amen? Take a physics textbook. I see the writer. It says force is equal to mass times acceleration. So the formula is force is equal to ma. If you have the mass of a body and the acceleration, the speed at which it moves, you can find out the force. If you see something just moving like this, if you know the mass of that thing moving and the acceleration, the rate at which it is moving, you can determine the force behind it. That's it. No, that's not it. As the thing is moving like that, the mass is increasing. You know, you say your own. Because you'll be in trouble. Imagine you are creating something to determine the force behind so that when it gets here, something will be able to cushion the effects. And you say your own. When the real force comes, you will understand. Amen? So, you are the recipient. Always agree. Number two, never simply assume the writings are about you. Now, they are firstly about him. They are firstly about him. Are you following this? We are beneficiaries and recipients in him. Have I said the scriptures never speak about the church? No. I've not said so. But they are firstly about him. About him. In Habakkuk 2:4, when it says, for the just shall live by his faith. Don't quickly covet that. Okay? The just shall be just by the faith of the Son of God. It helps a lot. It takes stress, in quotes, of studying. It's him that is writing about, not, you know, just say he. Just say he shall be blessed, and immediately say, hey, I'm blessed. It may not be so. He, at the end, you are blessed in him. Amen. But settle down. Firstly, about him, about him. We are beneficiaries and recipients in him. Number three, the scriptures are a body of knowledge and should be read or studied together. Do you get that? A body of, should be read and studied together. Remember what we just did some minutes ago? In understanding Genesis 1, we literally went through Genesis into Exodus and came back. Their body of knowledge should be together. Together. If you are trying to fix a puzzle, you don't isolate a tile and say, I don't like you. Or just take this out. And you are still trying to put it. No! In Luke 24:45, that's what Jesus did to his disciples. He made them to mentally put together the message of the scriptures. They suddenly realized that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Nobody was saying his own. God, who spoke through Moses, spoke through Isaiah. The same God saying the same thing. Hallelujah. So they're a body of knowledge. It's not, you know, this verse says this one, that verse says that one, you know, just bumping on a verse, just say, ah, this one, say, hey, amen. A body of knowledge. They are to be studied together, read together. At times, if you don't do that, you don't arrive at understanding. So I give you those three. Don't forget, handling the scriptures rightly. Right? Right? So, let me just close here. Because if I don't, I will not close. Hallelujah. The scriptures, so let me just run through 1, 2, 3 again. Never assume you are the writer, you are the recipient. God, through the prophets, wrote to you. Okay? You should always be the reader, the student, the pupil. You should always be that. Number two, never just assume because it's your Bible. Yes, it's yours. Or you are a son of God. Now take the writings as about you. I mean, it's just like you walk into a company. Maybe somebody even sent you on an errand there. Or you came to deliver a product, your own product, and then you got into the company, and then you found a letter on the floor. And you picked it up. And let's assume it was maybe a secretary that made a mistake or that made that error. And then it fell off. There's no name yet on the letter. Maybe they already have a template. They are going to write it with ink. And then you open the letter. You say, review of payment. You shall now be paid 1,852,468 naira 62 kobo. I don't know what that kobo is usually for, but let's leave that. You shall be paid that monthly now. And after you say, oh, glory. We did not say you are mad, right? Who are you? Are you a staff in the company? I say, no. I cut it by faith. You better cut it. Amen? No. You don't say, whoa! Review of payment. Glory to God. And maybe what you came to supply is 2.5.
real payment, real payment. Is that letter to you? Amen. Is it to you? So it's important to note that in Bible study, in scripture learning. Firstly, about him, we are beneficiaries and recipients in him. Amen. Beneficiaries and recipients in him. And then lastly, scriptures are a body of knowledge, should be read and studied together. And at times, that's where the diligence is. Be patient. Read. Be patient in learning. Be patient. Learn very well. Learn well. There are things that David said in the book of Psalms that until you get Moses, you won't get David. Interestingly, the Psalms, you know, some of them are just short. But the background is in Moses, where he has read, somewhat understood, and then God uses the knowledge in Moses to inspire David to speak. And then he speaks by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen, amen. It's like taking the book of Psalms and just, David was a king, so he must have been many battles. So therefore, my God, thou forsaken me, Israel. Let me say it in Yoruba, for Ijagbo. You get the point. Amen? If you don't understand that, peace be unto you. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Thank you. Giving praise for that.